Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Happy July. July 1st, and summertime is now rolling along. And what better guest to have on Conducting Conversations when you want to have a good time than the one and only George Marshall is here. Welcome, George.
Hey, Mike. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you back once again. George has been a guest many times on Conducting Conversation. He is the executive director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and film festival time is here again.
Oh, it's coming up next month, August 7th through 12th.
There you go. And what happens in that time period?
Well, it becomes a smorgasbord of films from around the globe. Last year, we had over 310 titles. This year, probably about the same number. And last year, also more than 400 filmmakers came and visited us,
400.
Yeah.
400.
400. It was shocking.
Wow.
So you could walk through Providence and probably bump into somebody from India or China, or Japan, Great Britain, Germany, and not know that they were actually from, connected with the festival, and they were filmmakers.
Wow. Now, as far as the public is concerned, when they want to go see something, where do these events take place?
Well, they're actually all over. Our main halls are the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, Providence Performing Arts Center, and the RISD Museum Auditorium, the Metcalf Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Plus, we'll be doing something down in East Greenwich. On a Thursday this year, we'll be doing some work up in Woonsocket, some screenings in Newport. So pretty much a statewide festival.
Wow. So from Woonsocket to East Greenwich, and people don't usually travel that far in Rhode Island. So
I shouldn't say that, but Rhode Island, it's a major distance. You know, I live in Newport, so friends think I should be packing my luggage when I go up to Providence where my office is.
Well, the title of Conducting Conversations tonight is basically Summer Blockbusters,
mm-hmm.
and we'll tie that into the film festival. These are movies that most people have either seen or should see, right, in your opinion?
Well, yes. And while our festival shows a lot of new films, we are a discovery portal, that doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the mainstream fare. And so we're going to be listening to music from some films that I've enjoyed watching. Of course, some of them I would consider mind popcorn. But on the other hand, I mean, what better way if it's a rainy afternoon and there's not much, you can't go to the beach, you can't work in the yard, and you have a day off, a movie is a great way to escape, particularly if it's something that's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bring the problems of the world your way, which is what most summer films avoid. We're not getting heavy didactics or any political themes. It's just escapism.
And they save those for December.
When we all want to slice our wrists, right, as the weather gets bad.
And they want to get them in before the
exactly,
end of the year, right?
Exactly.
Right. So summer blockbusters, and we're going to start with I guess probably one of the more unique, not the right word, but storied stories.
Yeah, it's interesting because what we're going to be listening to is from a film that was projected to be a huge major hit this summer, and it didn't quite live up to expectations, and critics were very fast to jump on it within the first couple days after it was released. The film is a Star Wars standalone. It's about Han Solo. Minus Harrison Ford, new actor taking the lead, because it's about a young Han Solo. The film had a little bit of trouble in its development simply because Disney was bringing in directors that were new and mm-hmm. just developing themselves, and the folks they brought in were originally connected with a Lego movie, which did great good business, but it was a comedy. And apparently there were some issues revolving on how they directed the film, and they stepped in and they brought in Ron Howard. Ron Howard, of course, Opie going. You can't get bigger than that. And, you know, for years, he and his family lived in Westport, Connecticut. So, you know, he kind of avoided the Hollywood rush after his childhood career. And when he got into filmmaking as a director, he took his whole family and went to the East Coast. And that's where he raised everybody. Mm-hmm. And but he's, you know, it's amazing if you look at his journey as an artist and seeing that, you know, he did not. When he outgrew the acting, he took on a new mantle, and he knows the business inside and out, and he's very well respected as a craftsman who can come in and do anything. So they've reshot almost all of the film,
wow!
Which, of course, drove the budget up hugely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people were predisposed to dislike the film before it even opened, and it turns out for those that didn't follow the hype, those that actually went there with an open mind, it's a good film. It will be rediscovered.
That's good.
But it's not going to be rediscovered in enough time for them to break even with it. But I guess we shouldn't be crying tears or even crocodile tears for Disney, because at this point, if you look at the box office from Black Panther to Avengers Infinity War, you're talking quite a bit of money here.
They're doing okay.
They're doing okay.
All right. Well, let's get to some music from Star Wars.
Well, what we're going to be talking about is the pieces were written not by John Williams, but a fellow named John Powell, who also integrated several of John Williams's set pieces into this. But this is pre-Star Wars, which we now know is Episode 4, A New Hope. So this is a very early version of Han Solo before he meets Princess Leia. We discover his backstory, where he comes from. We discover how he met Chewbacca, how he met Lando Calrissian. So we'll listen to two pieces back-to-back, The Adventures of Han, and an interesting piece for those that are into Star Wars, the theme is L3 and Millennium Falcon.
George, we're going to change gears a little bit from one that didn't do so great at the box office to this next one.
This one, which took in $2,031,000,000.
$2,031,000,000
so far.
$31 million.
Oh, yeah, that's just chump change. Yeah. $2 billion. What I could do with $2 billion. The film is Avengers Infinity War. It's actually part one of two pieces dealing with the Marvel Universe. And this piece is by Alan Silvestri, who's become kind of a legendary film composer, going way back with work with Robert Zemeckis, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Forrest Gump. And other films, small films and big films that you would recognize. In this case, he's created a new mystique with the music of what is hero music. And we'll hear that in the opening band of the Avengers theme, which has appeared in all the Avengers movies. It's very short. And then we'll listen to a piece called The Infinity War, which ties in the themes by Silvestri and the characterizations of all the folks that are represented in the film, and the main theme itself, the Infinity War.
All right, we will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of George Marshall and his music.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, having a great evening, sitting with one of my favorite guests of all time, the incredibly talented and somewhat good-looking. George Marshall is here.
Somewhat.
The director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival. I'm still trying to get over that stat you gave me, George, earlier in the program when you said there are about 400 filmmakers that attend the film festival this summer.
This is true.
That's an amazing number of people, and a tribute to the success of what's been going on for how many years now?
Actually, 22 years for the film festival, and the nonprofit organization will turn 37 this November.
Wow. Flickers.
Flickers, yep.
37, and yep. And that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, and you know, they're already booking rooms right now. We luckily have worked very closely with the Convention and Visitors Bureau up in Providence. Kristen Adama is actually on our advisory board, and she's their VP of marketing, and they help us to get reduced rates for the filmmakers to come here. So it's kind of a holistic thing with all the elements coming together, from restaurants to hotels to retailers, mm-hmm. who support the festival. And so when a filmmaker comes here, they're not just stranded and on their own. They're actually integrated into our community.
That's excellent. And it's several days.
It actually is 6 days.
6 days.
And okay. It runs, again, from a Tuesday night to a Sunday evening. And we do a wide spectrum of programs, from kids programming to specially niche programming. Last year, one of the things we discovered, and something we didn't plan, but we did more than 41% of our films were made by women filmmakers. 41%.
Wow.
And, you know, we don't have a quota. We right. take what we think are the best films.
Right.
But it's been a consistent pattern more and more that women have really integrated into the industry. They're becoming more dominant in their voices being heard. Mm-hmm. And it's a point that needs to be stressed, that creativity is not limited to gender mm-hmm. or nationality. Creativity is universal. And everyone has a story. All of us have a story. And that's what films do. They tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And you mentioned earlier also you'll see people from China or people from Germany or England mm-hmm. or wherever they might come from, all walks of life.
And a fair amount of repeat players. We have folks, for example, a young fellow named Joe Procopio. Now, Joe started coming to the festival at 8 years old and brought a short film. Every year he premiered his newest work with us. Every year. I got to know the family. His twin sisters come in about 3 years after that. They started making films. Then Joe started traveling the festival circuit. So his work has played almost every major festival on this continent, from Seattle down the line. Mm-hmm. And long story short, he's now in his early 20s. He finished a feature film which deals with virtual reality and games, video games. And we'll be showing that film later this summer, but a major film with Sean Astin as the lead. And Sean Astin, of course, was in the Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got, you know, an A-list player.
Yeah.
And Joe was the director of
little
that
Joe.
Film. Writer and director, Little Joe. No longer little.
Right.
But it's amazing. I mean, you know, seeing that trajectory. And the folks that we've built relationships with over the years who come back again and again, it's very, very heartening.
Well, it's amazing. It's actually incredible.
Yes, but boy, is that a lead-in. Is that a lead-in? After how many years, we now have The Incredibles 2, which
go.
Is doing great box office, except it got sidewhacked last week with the opening of Jurassic World. But I'm sure it will recover. The Incredibles Part 2 has great music by Michael Giacchino. And Michael has done so much work, not only in the Disney universe and the cartoon universe, but things people would recognize. Super 8, Mission Impossible, Planet of the Apes films, Star Trek, Doctor Strange, Rogue One, Spider-Man Homecoming, and on and on. And last year's Coco, which was a great film, an animated film. And Giacchino...
Up for an Academy Award, right?
Yep, that's right. And Giacchino is kind of interesting because... In this score for Incredibles, he blends the original theme with a pseudo John Barry / James Bond cartoon. And it's It's a little bit off in terms of the nature of these superheroes, but it does have this kind of intrigue element to it that you would find in a Bond movie. It's not Spectre. It's more like the 1960s Bond films, more Dr. No, more from, not from Russia with Love, but I think probably Goldfinger a wee bit.
So, Pussy Galore. And all
Exactly. And you know, the film is totally tongue-in-cheek with some of the elements. And then, of course, we discover in this one the powers that the little kid Jack-Jack actually has. Jack-Jack is the baby that they weren't sure at the end of the first film what powers he had. Mm-hmm. And we discover at the very end he had something. This film picks up where that left off, and we discover that Jack-Jack is just kind of like an everyman with every talent possible. So it's highly entertaining. It's a feel-good film for the family, and we've got two pieces that we're going to be listening to. And so why don't we play episode two, the opening, and then the second piece is Digging the New Digs.
Definitely right about that spy theme kind of feeling. Mission Impossible, James Bond.
Yeah,
whatever.
Lalo Schifrin and John Barry combined.
There you go. All right. Where do we go now?
Our next piece is actually a second work of music by Alan Silvestri for a film directed by Steven Spielberg. That film is called Ready Player One. It came out this spring, did really good business, and deals with virtual reality as well as video games. What's unique about this is always Spielberg pushing the envelope on technology, and in this case, it's very unique because it doesn't feature music by John Williams. What we're going to be listening to is the title theme, Ready Player One.
Thank you.
Wow, as we both commented listening to that, does sound a little John Williams.
Very, very much so. Yeah. And it also tells you a little bit of the range of Alan Silvestri. I should note that he actually went to the Berklee College in Boston, from New Jersey, just like Michael Giacchino. So we're seeing an Italian connection, we're seeing a New Jersey connection, and now we're hearing a Berklee College of Music connection.
How you doing? All right, we have another piece before we take our next break.
This one's called The Oasis. It isn't actually the virtual reality world. It's a very nice piece. It's memorable for what it stands for, and it's a signature piece for Alan Silvestri.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take that break and be back with more. Once again on Conducting Conversations, I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall, talking about summer blockbusters and some films that I'm very familiar with and others that not so much. This next one, it's kind of escaped me. It's called A Quiet Place.
Yes, and it was what you would call a sleeper film that was directed actually with a Brown University connection. Both the composer and the director and main lead actor come from Brown University.
Right down my street.
Yeah, right down your street. Exactly. And the director is John Krasinski, who most folks would know from The Office. The composer is Marco Beltrami. And it's fascinating because it deals with a dystopian time, 2020, not too far from now, when the Earth is pretty much eviscerated by these creatures who live by sound. They come and hunt when they hear sound. Oh, so A Quiet Place means that this family that survived this evisceration, this genocide, they have to be quiet. They have to live in silence, or otherwise they will die. And so that's the premise behind this horror film. It's very effective. It's very evocative. It's very scary. The co-lead on this is Emily Blunt, who just happens to be Krasinski's wife. And for those who know the actress, they'll know that she's coming in with a new Mary Poppins version this December by Disney. Mary Poppins Returns.
Kind of a different role.
Very different role. She's not going to be quiet in that film. So, I mean, think of it as an actor. I mean, if they're not saying anything, then it's all emotion, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of it, I'm imagining.
So we're going to be listening to a piece called A Quiet Life, which tells you everything you need to know about this movie. Again, music by Marco Beltrami.
Thank you.
Now, this next movie, I would have to live under a rock to not be aware of.
I think most people would, actually.
Because the pre-show hype, as you might say, or the advertisements and everything was everywhere. Toys involved with it, every different kind of advertising from cars to all kinds of things take advantage of movies like this.
Absolutely, and it's really very much a statement about our culture internationally. And the film, of course, is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So this is number two in the Jurassic World, not Jurassic Park environment. So this takes you years after Jurassic Park, and now they've discovered that they put this dino world on an island that has a volcano. How dumb is that? And that leads to a lot of complications. It also leads to some elements of human greed and sets things up for another film, obviously.
Of course.
And sets things up for kind of what the apes did in Battle of Planet of the Apes, but this time it might be Battle of the Planet of the Dinosaurs.
Hmm.
So the music again is by Michael Giacchino, who has just done amazing work and has been kind of the yeoman replacing John Williams for a number of scores. And this year he's got actually three scores coming out with different films. So the piece we're going to be listening to first is the title. Now, I will point out that all these films have always integrated John Williams' original music. So elements come in and out. Yeah, very much so. And the same sort of grandeur that was imposed on this world by John Williams' music is replicated by Giacchino. The film stars Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. And of course, Pratt has made his fortune from television and now into Guardians of the Galaxy and what will be a trilogy for the Jurassic World series.
Great music we could play from Jurassic World, but we're going to move along because it's growing close to the end of the show.
Exactly.
And I want to make sure we get in some more details about the festival coming up, dates, times, places, websites,
sure.
things
well,
like that.
Well, folks can go to our website at www.rifilmfest.org, and they'll be able to purchase tickets by mid-July. We'll be able to see the entire schedule up. Right now, you can get opening night tickets. Those are available. And then for the rest of the week, we'll have it broken down by venue and time and, you know, whatever the genre is going to be. In the mornings, for example, we do kids program all week long, ending on Saturday with a program that's designed by kids from our filmmaking camp that we run at the University of Rhode Island. This year we have 66 kids that are participating in a camp that tells them how to make films from soup to nuts, and they actually edit the pieces as well. So they'll produce about 14, 15 pieces that we'll show to them and their families on Saturday at a red carpet event at RISD Museum, which is really exciting because last year we had close to 250 people there for these young kids, and just to celebrate and move them along and say, hey, this is a career for you. Mm-hmm. That's exciting when you see young kids, and this is ages 8 to 17, who learn that they might have a future in something that excites them and they have a passion for.
Excellent. That's a wonderful thing to do and something that people should try to support.
Absolutely. And for the festival, the nice thing is you don't know who you're going to be sitting next to. I mean, this year, for example, we'll have, and I spoiler, but we'll have some actors that you'll definitely recognize. We'll have some directors that you will definitely recognize, up and coming as well. We'll include, for example, the set designer from Jaws who's coming here this year. I'm not going to drop names, but you can do a IMDb search on that. And we're also going to be celebrating a film that last year had its world premiere with us at our opening night. That film, along with another film, were nominated for Academy Awards for Best Live Action Film. And this film, The Silent Child, actually won. What was cool for us was the journey the artists took. They were in touch with us the entire time. I actually still hear from them on a weekly basis. And we've actually used their photograph that they provided us, pushing how long it took for them to get to Rhode Island. It's a kind of a journey around the world. We're using that for our poster this year to celebrate the fact that we really support and endorse independent filmmakers, where our goal is to discover their work.
Excellent. Excellent work. And we have one more film to talk about before we leave, and that's called The Deadpool.
Deadpool number 2. The music's by Tyler Bates, but what we're going to be playing right now is, it's actually kind of funny because there was a music video. Ryan Reynolds is just a huge marketeer. For whatever reason, and it's been very successful. Deadpool is an R-rated movie, a film that you would never expect to get the audiences that queued up to see this piece. At that point of this conversation, it's over $700 million in box office worldwide, and he was able to get a lot of people to play with him. In this case, he got Celine Dion to do a music video for him as well as a piece for the movie. So we're going to be listening to Celine Dion's music from Deadpool, which is called Ashes. The music video, if you like the music, go online and look for the video. It's funny. It's really very funny. So Deadpool, Celine Dion, Ashes. And for the film festival, rifilmfest.org, come visit us in August. Be part of our family.
Thanks, George, so much for coming in and explaining these movies to us. And best of luck on the festival.
Thank you.
Support everybody. See you next time on Conducting Conversations.
What's left to say? These prayers aren't working anymore. Every word shut down in flames. What's left to do with these broken pieces on the floor? I'm losing my voice, calling on you. I've been shaking, I've been bending backwards till I'm broke. Watching all these dreams go up in smoke. got the fires in my soul. 'Cause I need you here. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause I've been shaking, I've been bending backwards till I'm broke. Watching all these dreams go up in smoke. Let beauty come out of ashes. Let beauty come out. Can beauty come out of